football on Off the Ball. I
mean, how many times did you see a long ball going up to Jokeres and the two centre-halves for Atleti letting it bounce and then him backing in and winning fouls? That's old school stuff, and people looking at it and thinking, oh, that's not great. What, you want me to get 15 passes before we get it up to...
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Welcome back. So the Irish Sport Monitor was launched today in Dublin. These are the latest figures on participation released by Sport Ireland. So the top line is that more people than ever before, 2.16 million to be specific, are taking part in sport on a weekly basis. And weekly sports participation now stands at 48.4% of the population. In terms of specifics, personal exercise remains the most popular activity, 1 in 5 adults participating weekly. Then you've got swimming, running, cycling and weights training as the rest of the top 5 most popular sports. Then you've got Gaelic football, soccer, dancing, yoga and Pilates, all recording weekly participation rates of 3%. Golf is in at 2%. So participation levels significantly on the rise. Almost every age group has recorded a rise since 2017. But then on the other side of things, weekly recreational walking rates have fallen by 4% compared to 2024. And the percentage of people meeting national physical activity guidelines through sport and walking alone fell from 40% to 38%. So to discuss all this and the upcoming round of the Community Sports Facilities Fund, very happy to say that Charlie McConnellogue, Minister of State with Responsibility for Sport, is with us here in studio. Minister, thanks for coming in. How are you keeping?
I'm very good, thanks, Owen. Really good to be with you, thanks.
So give us the top line on all of those figures. What's given you the most encouragement? What's worrying you the most when you go through the Sports Monitor?
I suppose the most encouraging thing is actually the fact that we do have so many within society actually participating in weekly sport. That's something that's very encouraging. I think it's a great credit to the work that goes on across the country, particularly through our clubs and through the many volunteers that provide that opportunity within communities for people to be able to participate in sport. And obviously, listen, we know, particularly with, you know, people having really busy lives now, also the increased digitization of our lives and the distractions that we have and the more reasons to be in the house as well. The fact that we are seeing very strong figures is encouraging. But we do need to see ourselves, and we do want to continue and do more. And as you say, we've over 2.1 million people now on a weekly basis participating in sport. And that's something that we've been tracking over the last number of years. And what was published today was, as you said, the Irish Sports Monitor. That's something we've been doing now for many years. I want to recognise the work of Sport Ireland and Benny Cullen in particular, who've led out with his team in terms of pulling that information together with Ipsos BNA, who do the survey. And has carried out the interviews, 8,000 people across 8 different age groups, to make this assessment. And I think it's important we look at it in terms of taking learnings as to what more we can do. And we do see, in relation to a couple of particular challenges, for example, we see the gender gap between men and women as still being a challenge. The figures this year would show that it's at 4%. So 50% of men on a weekly basis are participating in sport, whereas it's 46% of women. And that's something now, working with Sport Ireland and working with our national governing bodies, we want to try and invest further in to address. And we've taken some steps in relation to that. For example, in the last 18 months or so, we've appointed a national women in sport lead, Nora Stapleton, with Sport Ireland, who's working with governing bodies and sporting bodies to try and put in place programmes with them that's going to particularly try and target more women to participate in sport. And we've also invested in a particularly dedicated stream of funding for women in sport. So this year, for example, that'll be €4 million to our national governing bodies for them to develop programmes that will see more women participate. The other challenge, and something we need to perceive particular focus on in the time ahead, is around the disability participation in sport. Because this Sports Monitor today shows that the figure is 34% of people with a disability participate in sport on a weekly basis. And that's over 19% behind for those that don't have a disability. So again, that's something I think that needs a collective effort by all of us. We've appointed a national lead through Sport Ireland, Jerry McTavish, a disability and sport lead, who's going to be working with and is working with our national governing bodies. We've also put in place a dedicated funding stream with €1 million particularly to our national governing bodies towards that. And also working with our sports partnerships across the country, we're putting in place sports officers as well, inclusion disability officers across those 29 local sports partnerships. And a lot of them have been recruited already. Some are still under process, but their work is going to be within those sports partnership areas to try and make sure, working with sports clubs and working with governing bodies, that there's opportunities for people to participate in sport. And listen, it's also something I know we'll be speaking later on as well in relation to the Community Sports Facilities Fund. It's something we'll be looking to see in terms of facilities development as well, that we're supporting that.
Looking forward, there was an interesting line in your Irish Examiner op-ed today about Ireland aspirationally looking towards 2040 and trying to become the fittest nation in Europe. Why have you set that as a target?
Well, our national sports strategy has set that as a target, and I think it's one we can achieve and we need to work towards. And as a country, you know, that has a really strong sporting heritage, I think that's really doable. And we have seen significant progress over the course of the last number of years. If you go back, for example, to the Sports Monitor in 2017, at that stage we had 43% of the adult population participating in sport on a weekly basis. So that's increased now to 48%, and I believe we can push that on further.
Is that the metric that you're looking at to get the highest level of sporting participation in Europe? Does that mean fittest?
Yes, absolutely. I think if we can get everyone participating in sport on a weekly basis and you know, reach that 60% figure, that would bring us into that situation where we would achieve that. And obviously, listen, the objective here is to get more and more people active all of the time. So, and we, you know, through the investment, through, like, we're significantly improving the investment to Sport Ireland, to our national governing bodies. We're significantly improving our investment as well in relation to facilities development, and also through public awareness, working with the Department of Health, too, working with our education sector, to be able to get the message out there to encourage people to participate in sport.
What sort of work are you talking about with the education sector in particular? Because that to me seems like the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to increasing that number, physical education and what's available to children in schools.
Yeah, and I think, listen, I mean, through initiatives like our Active School Flags, I think they have been very, very positive in relation to getting students active. I know many schools now build in exercise to the school day. And the other thing we'll be looking to achieve as well through the Community Sports Facilities Fund in the upcoming round, we'll be encouraging clubs and schools to collaborate in terms of the development of facilities so that students have that opportunity and improve facilities to be able to exercise and get really active during the day, which will also be available then in the evenings too.
We might come back to that point in just a moment, because I think it's in one or two of the questions that we've had from listeners. But as you mentioned there, there's an upcoming round of the Community Sports Facility Fund. So this is previously known as the Sports Capital and Equipment Programme, which in 2023 delivered €277 million for more than 3,000 projects. So what's going to happen before this fund closes and before applications closes, that you're going to do a selection of Community Sports Facilities Fund information evenings? Because I think it's fair to say that there might be certain misconceptions out there about the application process, what you need to have, what you don't necessarily need to have. So what do you think, first of all, are the biggest misconceptions out there for anybody involved in clubs who are curious about applying for funds, having not done so before?
Yeah, well, I'd say, so listen, in terms of the Community Sports Facilities Fund, it's the main avenue we have for being able to support clubs to develop their facilities. And sport in this country is very much driven by volunteers right throughout the country who do immense work and who give a tremendous gift to people in their community by donating their time to be able to do whatever it might be, if it's training different age groups, if it's supporting the maintenance of a club. It takes so much to make a club work and a club tick and to provide an opportunity within a local community to take part in sport, that's so valuable. And the most foundational piece in terms of our sporting infrastructure is the work of our volunteers. From a government point of view, we want to support our volunteers across the country by helping them to develop the facilities that they need to be able to provide that opportunity. We're also seeing, and the Irish Sport Monitor today shows this over the last number of years, how we have seen participation increasing. That's obviously bringing its own demands now in relation to the need for facilities. So listen, I suppose that the main message I would have to clubs out there is that there is the opportunity for clubs to apply. And it is open, and you do qualify as long as you are a not-for-profit organization, either a sport club or a community organization, or a school who works with a club, you are entitled and able to apply either for facilities, development of facilities such as pitches, or any other type of facility alongside that, walking tracks, floodlights, for example, or you can also apply for equipment. The most recent round, for example, had maximum grants available for facilities of €200,000 and maximum grants available for equipment of €70,000. So we're planning on opening a new round now over the coming summer. The Programme for Government commits to two rounds of the Community Sports Facilities Fund over the course of this government. We're finalising the review of the last round at the moment with the objective of making sure that it works as well as possible and as is practical for clubs to be able to apply for, and plan to open it over the summer period, and it'll be open for a 2 to 3 month window then for clubs to apply. And the key thing I'd say goes, listen, it does take a bit of thinking and time working within your club, working within the club's organisation committee to decide you're going to apply, to decide what it is the priority within your club that you're going to aim for. So I would say to clubs across the country at the moment to start thinking now in terms of what you'd make the application for, when it opens up, then to make that application to support the work that your club is doing.
One of the misconceptions out there is that if you don't own your own land, you don't own your own facility, you're not entitled to the sports capital grant, which isn't true. Now, there is a difference between the amount you're entitled to if you've got a long-term lease or you own your own facility, for example, compared to a short-term lease, or if you're you don't have any lease at all, or you're paying rent to a landlord, or whatever the case may be. Can I ask you, is there any intention to close that disparity, or why that gap does exist between those two situations?
So we're looking at that as part of the review now, but listen, in recent rounds, if you had a lease on land of at least 5 years or upwards, you're eligible to apply for developing facilities on that premises. To be able to qualify for the maximum of €200,000, for example, you need to be able to show that you have a 15-year lease, or else that you own the ground. But if you have anything from 5 years upwards, you qualify to be able to develop facilities of €70,000 cap in the most recent round. That is something we're reviewing in the context of before we opened up this time around. Obviously, the consideration there from a government point of view is if we're investing public taxpayers' funds into developing a facility, there needs to be a level of assurance that facility is going to be available to the community once we've made the investment. And that's the idea behind it. And one of the key misconceptions, though, out there is that in relation to that you're barred from Community Sports Facilities Fund if you don't have a premises. And that's not the case, because you can still apply for equipment grants. So, for example, there's many boxing clubs out there, particularly, say, basketball clubs as well, who would rent premises, so they don't have a lease or they don't own a premises. And many would not have applied for the Community Sports Facilities Fund before. And they are eligible to apply for equipment up to a maximum of €70,000. And that's, I think, probably the biggest misconception that's out there. And listen, at the moment, I spend a lot of my time getting out and around the country, meeting with clubs and holding meetings with clubs as well when I go to counties to get their feedback in terms of what the challenges that they have are, also how the Community Sports Facilities Fund serves them and how we could adjust it or review it in a way that would meet their needs better. And one of the key things, that's the key thing I find actually, is that clubs feel that if they don't have premises of their own, that they're barred from applying. And that's simply not the case. So it's an important point.
You need to work with the person who does own the facility, obviously, but the application is possible.
Well, for equipment, the club doesn't need to have a facility or a lease, but for capital you do. Yeah.
One of the criteria that you judge on is the level of your own funding available. And there are, I think it's six main criteria. For example, when you look at the 2023 round, I look at two of them, and level of own funding available is one of them. Another one is level of socioeconomic disadvantage in the area. For me, when I look at those two things, I see a bit of a contradiction. If you are trying to reward clubs in socioeconomically disadvantaged areas, and also trying to award clubs that have a flow of cash that they can rely on, they kind of go head to head in this application process.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And last time around, it was adjusted in relation to the actual final decision. So the key criteria that was used then in deciding in the last round, the percentages of a grant that a club would get was actually the socioeconomic index for the area in which the club is based. That would be, again, the main criteria that we'll be looking at and will be a key factor this time around. Obviously, no matter what we do in terms of our own personal finances or family finances, it's the capacity to contribute, which is a consideration in relation to the level of grant that somebody might get for something, or indeed the level of taxes any of us pay. Likewise, when we will have a defined pot, a limited pot, we'll want to do as much as we can with it. The key consideration in relation to the level of grant that will be awarded in the last round, and again, will be a key consideration this time, will be that Pubble Deprivation Index, which shows the capacity of a community to contribute themselves as well. From a government point of view, listen, there's a really strong recognition there that clubs are doing massive work, that participation is growing, and then we need to respond and contribute to that that momentum by helping to develop the facilities. And over the last three rounds of the Community Sports Facilities Fund, we've seen that in relation to the overall level of funding allocated for each round. So, for example, there's been three rounds now since 2018. And though in 2018, the total amount allocated was 57 million euro, that was almost tripled. Two and a half years later, for the next round, it went to 167 million euro. And then the most recent round, where the announcements were made in summer of 2024, that increased again to 270 million euro. So, and in that most recent round, for example, we would have seen 3,100 projects supported across the country. So there's a very, very significant increasing of, you know, of prioritisation and of funding going to clubs, and we're seeing that in communities in terms of improved facilities and work ongoing at the moment.
Even when it comes to the point that you've made there about you don't necessarily need to own your facility in order to get funding, it does feel that those who are in areas with a good bedrock of sporting facilities are in a much more advantageous position. And you mentioned that the Pubble Index that's used for a lot of these areas. I'm sure if you look at the likes of Dublin 1 and Dublin 8, they would score very highly on the Pubble Index, for example. But it seems close to impossible for them to get the required funding to have a transformational impact on those communities, for example. And I bring them up kind of because we've done lots of work on the show with regards to the situation in Dublin 8. And if we take D8 and D1, even just like looking through the last awarding of sports capital grants, Dublin 1 got €81,976 in 2023. Dublin 8 got €210,542 in that grant as well. So that's a total of €292,000 out of €34 million spent in Dublin. Those are the two areas that need this funding more than any other, and yet they seem the areas most unlikely to receive that funding. Something's not right there, that this is the outcome when it comes to these sports capital grants.
Yeah, and it's not that they're receiving less funding in terms of per application. The challenge is we're not getting the same level of applications from those areas. So where applications come in and where they're valid, We have been in a position to work with clubs and to fund them. The challenge has been we're seeing a disparity in relation to the number of applications coming in. So
how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, listen, that is a challenge. And listen, what we want to achieve this time around as well is where we can get people to collaborate as best as possible. One of the challenges in urban built-up areas in particular can be around access to land and access to premises. Yeah. So one of the things we want to particularly try and encourage this time around is schools to work with clubs where schools might have premises or might have capacity, for example, to develop all weather surfaces that can be used by the community in the evening and during at the weekend.
I don't think there is that capacity in Dublin.
So that's,
Dublin 1.
The other thing, and this is a challenge, working with my officials and the officials in the Department of Environment as well, is to seek to get our local authorities more active in this space as well, to work with clubs and to try and identify premises and land which can be made available for sporting opportunity.
And that's been something that Sporting Liberties have really been engaged with for the guts of 10 years, if not longer. And what I found really interesting, I'd actually kind of lost the story there for a little while because we hadn't covered it in a couple of years. I was just reading last year that there was this philanthropic collective that raised €1 million to deliver the first public green space in Dublin 8. So that's 8,500 children in this area. Like, that to me spells out a real failure on behalf of the local government, on the national government, to actually deliver on sporting facilities for children if they have to rely on a philanthropic collective to deliver them £1 million.
Yeah, and I would accept that. And the programme for government identifies this as a challenge, and we are working in terms of bringing departments together to see how, particularly working with local authorities, we can address this. It's not something that we're going to be able to deal with, sort overnight, but it is a challenge. As you pointed out there, we're seeing it come through then in relation to the Community Sports Facilities Fund grants, because we're not getting the same level of applications from those clubs. But one thing, and I mean, you do see more leasing and more instances in areas where there's challenges in terms of getting access to land. You do see more leasing. And that's why that message in relation to being able to apply for community sports facilities for equipment, I want to get that out. For example, I was in a boxing club there in Phibsborough there very recently, a Korean boxing club with under 300 members. They've developed, got a wonderful facility which they've leased, but they're doing great work in the community. They have actually never applied to the Community Sports Facilities Fund because they didn't feel that... That's the case, particularly in many boxing clubs across the country.
For sure.
And I want to try and address that and see them supported.
It feels that there's a multitude of factors at play here as well in terms of actually getting stuff over the line. Funding is one step, but there's a whole other swathe of other issues. Like, when it comes to planning, for example, is there anything that sports facilities or the sports world of Ireland can do to grease the wheels when it comes to planning? Because sporting infrastructure, you know better than anybody how important that is on a social level for this country, particularly in built-up areas. Built-up areas face greater planning issues than most other areas of the country. So those two things can't really coexist either.
Yeah, no, and we need to be doing more in this space, and we are. It is something we're targeting. So, for example, Sport Ireland has recently become a statutory consultee in the planning process. So, plans are being developed now, mandatorily and by law, they have local authorities have to engage with Sport Ireland to input, and they've over the last number of years as well collected a lot of data in terms of where there are particular gaps in facilities, and that's something we want to see fed in to local authorities. And then in terms of the engagement that we are fostering between departments, it's about trying to make sure that is a key consideration in relation to local authorities. For example, there was one GAA club there a few months ago where as part of the planning conditions on the granting of planning permission for a new housing estate along beside a GAA club, they were required to donate land to the GAA club to develop a new pitch.
Okay.
And that, that is the type of thing we need to see become more commonplace in relation to how we plan and step out new development, building new communities, making sure that sporting opportunity and sporting facilities are as intrinsic to that as the actual building of the houses themselves.
Because how do you, address the issues that we're discussing today while also realising that the number one subject on the government's agenda right now is the ongoing housing crisis? So, like, it can't just be a sort of black and white look at more houses equals a better society. What's coming with the houses?
And listen, this is something that Minister James Brown is very much aware of, and that's why he's taken this step as well to make sure that Sport Ireland is a statutory consultee now where plans are being developed, because we need to see integrated thinking here.
How do we then bridge the gap between that pitifully low amount of money and what could be possible in deprived areas? What can be done to ensure that more applications are forthcoming? Because as you say there, it's the applications. It's on that side where there doesn't seem to be enough volume.
So I think the awareness piece, and that's why I've been, I'm trying to get the message out as much as possible for people to think ahead and plan ahead. And whenever at the moment, both myself and Minister Patrick O'Donovan are engaging with the Department of Public Expenditure and Minister Jack Chambers in relation to finalising the approval for this next round. We're obviously, as a former Minister of State for Sport, Minister Chambers very much gets the importance of investing in sport. But once we've that concluded, we will then be doing a very, very strong communications campaign as well, because it's about getting the message, particularly to those clubs who hadn't applied before, particularly as well working with their sports partnership sports partnerships to be able to support them in the work of applying, and then to see that follow through in relation to the number of applications coming in and government prioritisation as well of those applications.
We put this up on our Instagram story yesterday that you'd be popping into studio. We got a load of feedback. There's going to be some specific questions here, but a lot of them are pretty broad, and I think they'll apply to a lot of people who are considering getting involved in the application process in this round. So Kieran's been in touch to say, could you ask if we may see more municipal sports facilities going forward like we see in other countries? The taxpayer may get more value for money as it serves multiple sports and it'll be utilised 12 months of the year. Also, we need more indoor and astro facilities in Ireland as the winters seem to be getting wetter. Too many games getting called off and it's not sustainable and it's unfair on everyone involved, the players, coaches, volunteers, etc.
Yeah, listen, I mean, in relation to Astros and all-weather services, it's certainly one of the things I would like to see come out and make a significant dent in terms of this Community Sports Facilities Fund round, is seeing more all-weather surfaces actually developed across the country. This last number of months, anybody involved in field sports had a very, very challenging, stressful time in relation to training, not being able to be being cancelled on so many occasions. So that's something in terms of the finalising now of the new round that we're looking to see how we can particularly target and prioritise funding to see that developed. And listen, in relation, the other piece we want to see is more collaboration, whether that's between local authorities or either schools with clubs. And in terms of how we structure this next round, that's going to be a key focus as well. And like the conversation we've just had in terms of how we get local authorities thinking about the provision of sports facilities where we can get land identified, that then provides the opportunity for sports to come together and utilise it.
It does seem that there's just a load of local battles that need to happen here for local authorities to open up either educational facilities that have sports grounds on them or other community facilities that aren't being utilised by
and
sports
listen,
teams.
It doesn't necessarily need to be a battle. Like, I mean, there's lots of opportunities there whereby schools can work with clubs. And through this particular round, what I want to ensure and the message, you know, I give out to your listeners is where a school has capacity to develop some sports grounds or facilities and work with a club. Now, a school can't apply to the Community Sports Facilities Fund on their own. They have to do so with a club. But where they do so and come together, I think there's lots of opportunity there to really improve the level of participation and opportunity for people to engage in different sports.
On that subject, Sharon's been in touch to say many clubs, sports groups that benefit every year from this funding are already established with their own facilities. Smaller indoor sports in particular, those who depend on local schools for facilities, cannot get access to this funding without long-term lease agreements. School boards in general are adverse to entering this type of agreement. While it's mutually beneficial, there is no onus on them to do so. In Kildare, we have had a number of new schools built that either deny access to groups or allow very limited access. Feedback from local education boards or local representatives say it's up to each local school management. This is a situation that needs addressing, especially as any local plans for community facilities are 10, 15 years down the line. Like that's kind of the point I make about local battles going on, that it does feel that it's a case-by-case basis in all of these,
and the red tape that exists in all of these areas. The point I'd make to Sharon there is, first of all, she can apply for equipment grants without a lease. And second of all, the school can apply with the club. But listen, I know it can be different. Some parts of the country, they're very proactive and there's a really good engagement in this. There are other parts of the country where it's maybe not as progressive in terms of its thinking. And listen, that's something in terms of engaging with the Department of Education on as well, to see how we can actually get the message out there that, listen, this is a win-win for everyone. Ultimately, the objective here, develop facilities where kids can really be active during the day and where the community can really be active in the evening, and where we utilise the space that we have in the best way we possibly can for the community that's living there. And that's what we want to achieve here.
There's a couple of specific experiences then as well when it comes to going through the Sports Capital Grant. So we've been speaking to Ballinacore Community Park, which is in County Wicklow, and they've told us about the need to register with tax on their system, get quotes for the project, and then once you have been agreed funding, you must then take it if it's a big project, you must get quotes from the people who will complete the project. So unless you have a very strong case and can make that case, you're expected to go with the cheapest option when it comes to construction, labour, etc. And they also say when applying for a grant, you must have a certain percent of that total figure to match the funding. So if the project was 200k, your club would need 20% of that up front because the funding is not given as a lump sum. and is instead given in tiers. So it is designed that you spend 20% of the total fund, invoice that, and then repeat until the project is complete. So that ties into this idea that you need a bit of cash, need a good bit of cash in order to make something special happen on the sports.
Yeah, well, listen, the maximum level of grant aid that can be given out in a grant is 95%. So a club does need to be able to show that they have 5% of the, at least 5% of the funds. And obviously, socioeconomic capacity of a community comes into the equation in relation to the percentage a club would get. So the objective in recent times is to try and make it as possible or as practical as possible for clubs to be able to engage. And I say it's, it has been brought down to that 5% minimum co-funding requirement to be able to apply. In terms of, like, with 3,100 applications then last time around, clubs, in terms of when they get in and they start doing the project, they need to show an invoice and pay the invoice to be able to draw down the funds from that. That can be done on a phased basis, working with the department, though, to be able to support clubs as best they can to work through a project and to get it delivered.
We've been also speaking to Jobstown Boxing Club, and their secretary has explained that they've applied for every grant that becomes available every year. They've applied for the Sports Capital Grant and have been refused funding. They have received smaller grants for equipment in the past. They were unable to receive some grants due to issues like the centres in a residential area and that they rent the property from the council, which would be South Dublin County Council. And the location for these reasons have been rejected. However, they were unable to receive enough funding to move location when going through the channels. So what has happened here is they've attempted to go through the process. They were left with no choice than to find a new channel to try and expand their community body, which is creating elite athletes. So the grant system is clearly failing Jobstown Boxing Club.
So, well, there should be no impediment to them applying for equipment grants as a starting point. So a club, yes, even if they have a challenge in terms of consistency of their premises, they can apply for equipment grants up to a maximum of €70,000.
Yeah, she said they've got that. So it's a bigger...
So listen, then, again, we want to have a situation whereby we get people to collaborate, whether it's with a school, with a local authority, as much as possible. But to invest state money then into a premises, there, you have to balance that with the a reasonable assurance that the premises will continue to be available once you've invested in it. So it's about striking that balance. It's something I'm very conscious of as Minister of State for Sport, that there are challenges for some clubs, particularly like the boxing clubs, in terms of securing premises. And as much as we can, working with local authorities and working with schools, for example, we want to get to a situation whereby we can foster that collaboration that gives them more stability.
I think as well there is a view within sports like boxing that they haven't been given a fair crack of the whip when it comes to sports capital funding. Like, you look at the last round of funding and you compare it to Gaelic Games, which got €96 million, the most by distance when it comes to a sport-by-sport categorisation. So the GAA is 25 times bigger than boxing in terms of members, but it got 96 times the funding of GAA, Gaelic Games, in the last round of funding. Something's not adding up there.
Yeah, and listen, the reality there is that for most boxing clubs, they are renting premises or leasing premises. So they don't tend to build new premises. I know in my local town in Donegal, for example, Cairn Dona Boxing Club did build the premises there a number of years ago and got community sports facilities funding towards that, but that would be the exception. What we want to encourage there is that where they develop a relationship and have a reasonable lease with the premises, that they can invest in the facility. But also, and like the boxing club I just mentioned there that does wonderful work, the Korean Boxing Club, they hadn't applied before, and they can apply for equipment where you have the premises. A lot of your investment then can be in equipment instead. And we want to get the message out there to all of those boxing clubs that you can apply for equipment and you can be supported through it, and you should do that.
It does feel, and look, I'm sure the majority of our listeners are GAA fans or have some connection to the GAA in some capacity. It does feel that this government, and it's no different to previous governments, leans towards Gaelic Games in an unreasonably favourite manner. Like, too much favouritism being shown in terms of how much funding is being pumped into it. Like, you look at the budget last year, and sure, there's €1.5 million for high performance athletes, which covers a lot of different sports, and I'm sure boxers are part of that. But when it comes to specific sports, you've got €727,000 to the IRFU, €983,000 to the GAA specifically in the budget. I've just outlined what's happened there in the last sports capital grants funding, the favouritism shown to the GAA, you could argue, in that round of sports funding. And we're talking about an organisation right now that the conversation is happening around GAA Plus and how much revenue it's taking in through that stream. It's an organisation that's having Leeds versus Manchester United taking place in Croke Park this summer. It's a fairly flush organisation in terms of what it's bringing in, and you could definitely make the case that it requires less help than the majority of boxing clubs, for example, around the country.
Well, listen, first of all, Owen, I can assure you it's not the case that we're seeking to prefer any one sport over another. And that hasn't been the case in recent Community Sports Facilities Fund rounds either. The reality has been that GAA clubs have been traditionally very good at, and very proactive in terms of making applications. And of course, as an organisation and as clubs, they do wonderful, wonderful work within communities. But what we want to, but there hasn't been an inbuilt bias in any way in relation to extra funds going towards one sport over another. As I said, in relation to your point earlier about, you know, more built up areas, not maybe getting the same level of funding, it has been down to the level of applications that we've received. And what we want and what I wanted to ensure we're doing this time around is trying to look at the sports particularly which mightn't have made the applications in the past. Also working with their national governing bodies, try to encourage them to make sure that their applications are in through things like doing this interview with you here this evening, getting that message out that we are open for applications for them and that we welcome them and they will be they will be very well received when they make that application. And that's what we want to achieve here.
Would you not be better off throwing in a few €100,000 to less advantaged sports at the next budget compared to how well organised the GAA is in terms of grabbing this sports capital grant funding?
Well, what we want to do is we want to encourage the and in terms of how the Pubble Index, for example, last time around would have directed a higher percentage towards clubs in areas that mightn't have the same capacity to fundraise themselves. So we want to see more clubs that are applying this time. They will get a very, very welcome reception whenever they do apply. And a key objective between now, the round opening up and the closing, is to get the message out to them, working with their national governing bodies, working with local sports partnerships, and particularly as well in terms of communicating it publicly, that we want to receive applications from them, and they will be strongly supported if they do apply.
Just one other thing that I wanted to ask you about was just on, again, going back to the budget last year, because I think it's the first time I've spoken to you since then, just the €3 million allocated to this year's budget for League of Ireland academies. I'm sure there's a lot of work happening in the background on that. What's your understanding of the latest on all of that?
Yeah, so listen, obviously it was a really big commitment by the government and a really big vote of confidence as well in Irish football. And coming out of Brexit, obviously, you know, young people have to stay here now until they're 18, which we see the wonderful addition that is to our League of Ireland in terms of some of the young talent that's there. And it can be really beneficial to young people as well to be in their home setting. But we have to make sure that they have the pathways and the pathways of excellence to be able to develop into players, the best players they possibly can be. So that's why in the recent government we backed the League of Ireland and the FAI in relation to the €3 million funding, which will be continued into future years. There's been a lot of good work happening between the FAI and Sport Ireland in particular in terms of stepping that out. They had a really successful recruitment call for for academy directors and key officers within academy, they are currently now stepping out and starting in terms of starting the appointments for those academy directors working with clubs across the country. So a lot of really good progress.
Obviously,
it's important to get it right as well, you know. So when you started off, and I think the approach has been taken between the FAI working with Sport Ireland has been very strategic, and they have been exceptionally heartened by the level of response and the quality of applicants as well. And what we're seeing is many, you know, qualified coaches from outside the country applying as well, with, you know, looking to come back in many instances and to set up academies here. So I think it's a really exciting time for football and for, you know, the League of Ireland as well. And we see that obviously in terms of the attendances and the excitement we've seen across the country. And we want to, from a government point of view, drive that on and make sure our players are supported.
There was just one other text in on swimming and it being ranked as the second most popular sport in the Sports Monitor today. trailing only personal exercise, such as going to the gym. Yet across Ireland, our pools are either closing their doors or are beyond repair, has been the feedback. So I guess people are saying they're swimming, but they're doing it out in the sea. And the access to pools is not amazing because of the fact that they are beyond repair, as has been reported.
Listen, this is a challenge. And the government provided €1 million for Swim Ireland to commission a report in terms of getting a full assessment, and the first assessment we've ever really had in relation to swimming facilities across the country. And that has identified challenges. It's shown, for example, that two-thirds of our pools are in either hotels or private hands, as opposed to being in public ownership or in local authority, managed by local authorities. We want, through the next Community Sports Facilities Fund, to try and support pools where they have work within the scope of what that fund will provide for. But there is a bigger challenge there now in relation to how we actually address the gaps that we have across the country. So having commissioned and spent €1 million on that report, in terms of identifying the gaps, my officials now are assessing how best we can respond to that. And we recognise there's a challenge there. We recognise that in many parts of the country there are waiting lists for lessons, and that we need to invest in this. And particularly, it's going to be important to work with local authorities here as well in relation to seeing applications made. The large-scale infrastructure fund, for example, has been the main avenue for supporting swimming pools over the last number of years. It's a fund that was introduced for the first time in 2019, and we've had two rounds of it so far. But there hasn't been a big number of swimming pool applications applied to that.
Okay.
So we want to see that change, and it's an issue we have invested in terms of identifying the challenge, and we are focused on now in terms of developing the response.
Okay, very good. So that's a pretty broad breakdown of everything that's on the table over the next little while. What are the dates again, like broadly speaking, in terms of getting your applications in for anybody listening on behalf of a club?
We're planning, so the club should start thinking ahead now in terms of getting their ideas around what they will apply for. We'll be opening it over the summer for a period of 2 to 3 months.
Right.
And we'll be communicating very clearly with clubs as well once we open it up. But they should start thinking now so that they're ready to make their application.
Okay, you have been listening to Charlie McConnellogue, Minister of State with Responsibility for Sport. Minister, thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much, Owen.
Off the Ball, daily.